Hey, Dave.
What?
How many guitar puns can you fit into a radio advert?
Oh, easy. Are you feeling strung out, struggling to pick up your instrument? Well, don't fret. My mate Dan will put his neck on the line to make your instrument the best it can be. Nobody does it better. Can't think of any more, Dan.
All right, I'm Dan, and I set up electric, acoustic, and bass guitars from my recording studio in Andover. Drum kit services also available. Visit danparkinsonmusic.com for more information, or find me on Facebook and Instagram. All right, I'm Dan, and you're listening to the Stage Fright Podcast, where we talk about mental health while working in creative industries. Today on the show, I'm talking to Ree from the two-piece rock band Wolves.
It's quite easy writing songs together. I feel like it's just easy.
We talk about Ree's recent diagnosis.
Only recently just got diagnosed with ADHD.
Yeah.
Struggled throughout my whole life. And now I feel like I know why.
And the realization that comes after that.
You get diagnosed and you're like, oh, okay. And then for like a few weeks after, you're like, why do I not feel different?
And the social effect that has had.
Parties, are you kind of in and out?
Don't even
or
go.
Just out.
And the tools used to overcome that.
When I am having an off day, I made the last minute decision of just being like, you free tomorrow, because then I don't have time to think about it.
And I had to ask her the question that's on everyone's lips.
Right, quickly, the name. Why that spelling?
And then I ask,
what's it like running a band nowadays?
And we get completely sidetracked and don't even answer it.
Any film over an hour and 20 minutes is too long.
Yeah, way too long.
And what it's like having social anxiety at shows.
Overthinking and worrying so much the other bands are so much better or more experienced. And then me being like, I actually don't know how to play the drums.
You're listening to the Stage Fright Podcast. Here's Ree.
Accidentally knocking it.
Oh, that's fine. I knock it all the time.
Also,
no,
I've
with
got
the tea in my hand.
Oh, with the tea, yeah. Just spilling tea right over a microphone. But knocking it, that doesn't make a difference. Because I mean, regular listeners of the show will know. Yeah, this chair.
You feel it's like casual.
The worst. I was going to say,
I just imagine you sat all the time just wiggling around it, like
just trying to like wiggle and make this chair. People listening, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're recording.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, question one, who are you and what do you do? You don't have to give your surname.
No.
I couldn't find anything about your surname online.
I am Ree and I'm in the band Wolves. I do too many things.
Yeah.
I do like graphic design and then in the band. That's
cool.
It. Yeah.
You do all the graphic design for the band as well?
It's like a mixture between me and Hannah. Hannah normally comes up with the idea and then I make it look pretty.
So the band consists of two of you, mm-hmm. Hannah and you. And you're the drummer, Hannah mm-hmm. plays guitar, and you both do vocals.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
I do. It's scary.
Is it?
Yeah. Like I really like singing, but like I feel like I can hide behind like Hannah quite a lot,
right,
in terms of like singing, and then hide behind Hannah and then hide behind the drums as well.
Yeah,
so I enjoy it, but I'm like
yeah, the drums are like a nice instrument to hide.
Yeah.
to get behind.
Even if it's just like us two playing, I'll be like right at the back, so I'm like standard drum placement. And Hannah's like right at the front.
Yeah.
So I'm like in the background, which I kind of like, but
I've seen. Do you know the band Blood Red Shoes?
Recognize it.
They're a two-piece band, and she.
Are they females or is it male and?
Male and female.
Oh, okay.
Can't remember the girl's name, but the guy plays drums, and they're up front. They're both up front, and they're almost facing each other as well. It's quite weird.
Castles. There's a band called Castles that do that as well,
but
they're like facing each other.
What's it like managing a two-piece band? Because obviously you don't have to worry about four or five different members, you just got to worry about Hannah.
It's so much easier.
Yeah.
Although like it still is difficult to like find time to do stuff and like plan.
Yeah.
But like I couldn't even imagine trying to do it with like five other people.
Yeah.
Or however many people.
Well, when I played in Kids Can't Fly, we had six of us. So six of us.
A lot.
It's a lot of people.
How do you end up doing anything?
Whatever the band are doing, you just have to assume, right, I can't do anything in those 2 weeks. And you've just got to, if you want to do it, you've got to commit and do it. But nowadays, the older people get, the more they're like, yeah, I want to start a band. Okay, cool. What happened with the band? Oh, it turns out like bass player just had a baby, so he hasn't got much time, and the guitarist is all flying all around the world for his job.
Yeah.
But managing a two-piece band must be a dream.
It is good.
until you get rid of Hannah, and then that's even easier.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm free. No, it's just so easy to, like, you can just go in a car and, like, we've got all of our stuff. We don't have to take, like, two vehicles. You don't have to worry about, like, navigating. It's just like, I know Hannah's next to me and I know all the gears in the back.
Yeah.
And then we can just rock up and
How play. Far away do you guys live? Because you both live in London. How far away do you guys live?
It's like half an hour.
Oh, is it?
On the tube, yeah. It's pretty close. But we used to live, like, so far apart.
Yeah.
It was, like, miles and miles.
But did she live out? Did she live out of London or was
it? Yeah. Well, I didn't live in London originally. It was more, like, Oxford area. And then Hannah lived in Shropshire.
Yeah.
So that's a few
hours. She doesn't drive, does she?
No. So it's like the train.
Hannah's a weird one. Like, she doesn't drink tea or coffee. She doesn't listen to podcasts. She doesn't drive. What does she do? I find her really mysterious.
Hannah is very mysterious. Like, even after however long I've known her, since 2015, I know her, but, like, I still feel like I don't know her. Because there's just so much that I clearly don't know.
Yeah.
I know the basics. But
she's called Hannah. She's got blackish brown hair. Yeah. What colour is her hair?
She's like dark brown.
Dark brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about what we need to know. Yeah. She's not on social media.
Not
what
really.
A woman.
No.
Let's start with the writing process. Mm-hmm. How does it work with the two of you?
It's kind of, we both do our own things when it comes to writing. Like, I will start a song and do the majority of it, and Hannah will do that as well. And then it's just kind of like, we send either just like guitar demos or guitar and like weird melody things to each other.
Mm.
And we're like, should I carry on with this or not?
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And then we're like, yeah. Most of the time it's like, yeah, for me anyway, I really like what Hannah writes. Mm. So it makes it quite easy. I'm just like, yeah.
Do you have the songs that you can tell Hannah's written? You can tell the songs that Ree's written?
For me anyway. Like, I feel like, especially when it comes to like lyrics, mine are a little bit deeper.
Okay.
Like, when you just hear it straight up, you can tell that it's a little bit deeper. Hannah's are, like, deeper, but kind of
party vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More on the, I guess, classic rock sort of front.
Oh, cool.
Where mine, in my opinion, are a little bit more of the, like, poppy, punky rock kind of thing.
That's cool.
But, yeah, it's quite easy writing songs together.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just easy.
Do you both... Actually, we'll get on to easy in a sec.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do, do you both have recording equipment in your house where you live so you can just get demos down and MIDI drums? Do you just do MIDI drum stuff? Or
like, I have an electronic drum kit which I've started using for like little demos. Hannah has her phone, has her laptop, and a guitar.
I'm surprised she has a phone.
That's it. Yeah, so Hannah does like the basic things, and then she'll find like little... like drum tracks, like basic.
Oh, cool.
So she can get the tempo of the song.
Yeah.
This is how fast I want it. This is roughly like whether she wants it a little bit more complicated or like a little bit more laid back drums. And she'll send that over. And then I will do everything on my Mac and record my guitar into it. So I have a little bit more freedom with figuring out drum bits.
Yeah, that's nice. It's nice, especially with a two-piece band. It's nice that you can work together on that and there's not... you know, four brains going, yeah, well, I think it should sound like this. Yeah, well, I think it should sound like this. Yeah, but I heard this Queens of the Stone Age song and it should sound like that.
Yeah.
So we should do it. And then it's just got too many cooks.
Yeah.
At least when there's two of you, you can... And have you got that relationship where if Hannah writes something that's terrible, you can say, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, like if something's not good and like we don't like it, then we'll be like, not really a fan of that.
Great.
It's, as I said, like we will send the basics over and then be like... should I carry on with this?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Which is quite easy.
A lot of songwriting is getting rid of what you don't like and not holding on to something. So many songs, like when I was younger, I was writing and I'd be like, well, I've started writing it now, so I've got to finish it.
Yeah.
And you spend like weeks finishing the song and in the end you're like, well, it just sounds like shit. So wasted my time.
Why did I carry on with that?
Right, quickly, the name. Why that spelling?
I don't know.
Wolves.
Different.
Yeah.
Annoying.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's a great name. I really like the name.
I guess it stuck a little bit more because me and Hannah both were like, oh, we like things to be spelled correctly, and that wasn't. And we were like, that's going to annoy some people.
Yeah.
And people are going to ask questions about it. Therefore, it's going to get stuck in your head a little bit easier.
Great.
Go with it.
Great.
Yeah.
So, what was I going to ask? I got my little pad here.
Already.
It's all very professional here, mate.
Indeed.
You got a cup of tea?
I'm scared to, like, do the thing where you end up, like, gulping really loudly when that's you're drinking your tea.
Edit. I'll do it for you if you want.
Delete.
That was a proper cartoon. Yeah. That was a proper fake cartoon gulp. Yeah, so on your social media, I saw you post a couple of bits about autism. Mm-hmm. Is that something you live with?
I only recently just got diagnosed, not officially with autism, but with ADHD.
Yeah.
I've struggled throughout my whole life. Mm. And now I feel like I know why.
Yeah. Is that a relief?
Yeah.
To find that out.
It's really confusing, but it is like a weight off your shoulders. You're like, oh, I'm not just like lazy. I'm not just like overthinking everything for the sake of overthinking things. Like there are actual reasons behind it all. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So what were your traits before you were diagnosed? What would a typical day for you be?
Being incredibly unorganized.
Oh, really?
Not being able to complete, like, this is more of like the ADHD side. Not being able to like finish tasks or unable to start things, even though I really wanted to do them.
Yeah.
I would.
And is that simple things like making dinner?
Yeah, making dinner. Getting washing out of the washing machine.
Oh, okay.
The most simplest things that everyone else just seems to do and just get on with. I was like, why am I struggling to do this? And why can't I actually, like, I feel like I'm like on the verge of like paralyzed sometimes in terms of overthinking and being sat down for long enough that I don't actually end up getting up to do things, which makes it really difficult. Yeah. They're like the main two things. And like socially, I've always struggled.
Parties, are you kind of in and out?
Don't even go.
Just out.
Like if I have to go to like a social interaction, I will either be there for 5 minutes, say hi and then go.
Yeah.
Or I will be there. And if I'm there with someone that I know, I would just stay next to them, no matter who else is there.
So what's that like at gigs then? Because gigs are quite sociable and you've got to be... Who's the face of the band that would go up and talk to the sound engineer or the promoter or whatever?
It would normally be me.
Would
just
it?
Because, thankfully, it helps because my dad's at a lot of our gigs.
Cool.
And I always feel like he's been quite helpful with, like, not pushing me, but, like, being like,
just encouraging
you need to...
You. Yeah,
yeah, like, you need to go and do these things. You need to tell them this. Otherwise, they're not going to know. So it's more, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it is difficult, especially when it comes to, like, talking to other bands and...
Borrowing gear and all that kind of stuff.
I was
like,
oh no.
You've got to ask to borrow their shells.
What are they
going to
say?
Yeah. What are you worried is going to happen?
I don't know. It's just like ingrained in me ever since I was young. Like, I think it's definitely the rejection sort of side. If they're like, no, you can't borrow our gear. What do you expect?
Yeah.
And you're like, sorry. Yeah. I even asked. Even though that wouldn't even be that bad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's not the end of the world, but like, yeah.
Yeah, what's the worst that could happen? You go, oh, can we borrow your kick drum? And they go, they look at you like you've just like pissed on their kids.
Yeah.
And go, no. And you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, what's that? Like, that's literally the worst that's going to happen. But I mean, I have the same thing as well. I have like a sort of a fear of rejection thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help when you're in a creative environment because you get criticized a lot.
Exactly.
Which was nice when, as we've just done a record together.
Yeah.
And I sent off the mixes and got like a few mix tips back. And then the last message really like got to me because you said you've made this process really easy for us. And that's kind of what it's about, really. It's just about whether you work well with people and how easy the process is and how comfortable it makes you feel.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for sending me that email.
I'm being honest.
good. Patreon.com/DanParkinsonMusic for advert-free, higher quality and early access to the Stage Fright podcast. What helps when you're having like what I'd call like an off day? What would help you kind of get out of that?
I think I'm still trying to figure that out, to be honest.
You?
Again, I just find it so difficult to like get up and do things. But when I am having an off day, like for example, today I said to you, like I would have just been sat at home.
Mm.
Whereas like I made the last minute decision of just being like, you free tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do
cool.
it. Because then I don't have time to think about it.
Yeah.
Like not thinking is probably the best thing for me anyway.
For an overthinker, not thinking is the best cause, like the best what helps.
Yeah, definitely.
How was it when we first met? Because when we first met, well, I mean, when we first met, it was
ages ago.
But I mean, like for the recording, so day one of recording, how did you feel walking into the studio thinking, I've literally never met this guy before, he's got a beard, like he's a bit weird, like, is it because you had Hannah with you, it was fine?
Yeah, I feel like if I have someone with me, it's like support person.
Yeah.
But I think it did help because we had that, like we have played a gig before. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I know this person's fine. Like, obviously I've seen like your social media, listen to your podcast. And I was like, I just feel like we would get along.
Yeah.
So I didn't find it as bad as like, for example, meeting someone for the first time and not having any form of interaction with them ever. Even though it was a long time ago, it was like, okay, in my head, I already know this person, even though I definitely don't.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's one of the good things about social media, isn't it?
Yeah.
You kind of, like, I follow your social media.
Yeah.
Hannah doesn't have social media,
no.
as we've established.
Yeah.
So, I kind of felt like, you know, I've kind of kept up to date with what you guys have been doing. You were recording with Ben from Lowland Atlantis, which was wicked.
Yeah.
I sort of knew bits about you anyway. That's what I think, like, imagine being a celebrity. Imagine being Tom Cruise, the most famous person in the world, and like everyone knows so much stuff about you.
Yeah.
Everyone you meet, you don't know their
name.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing about them. Never seen their face before.
It must be a nightmare.
Yeah, that'd be really difficult.
Yeah.
You'd just be like, how do you know so much about me? But obviously, because you're on social media, like, because you're on
Being Kate Middleton now.
Yeah.
Like with this whole photo thing. Like,
God.
Jesus.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Like, I should get her on the pod.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Next person.
Yeah, what about that? How are you with the recording process? Do you enjoy it?
I love it.
Do you?
Yeah. It's like the best thing to do.
Do you
like,
prefer recording to writing?
Yeah.
Do you?
Because I guess you've got like what you want it to sound like in your head, and then you actually get to put these down and like actually hear, you're like, oh my God, that actually sounds cool. Like, whereas like when you just do demos at home, especially when they're not in my opinion, like great demos, because we just do the basics.
Like the guide tracks you gave me that weren't even in time.
you should have heard when we first sent our demo tracks to Ben when we first went into the studio. They were awful. I honestly don't know how he didn't just be like, no, I don't want you in.
No.
Nope.
Bye.
Like, but
you can, what I do like about demos is when a demo sounds like all right and you go, that sounds cool. And then when you record it and then you go and listen back to the demo and you're like, it's just the same recording. It's just like just been like ran through an old radio. It sounds terrible.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's what I enjoy about recording and producing is getting the best out of people and getting people like sort of out of their shell a little bit.
Yeah.
With you, I noticed with you, while I was editing your drums, I didn't have to do much editing. I noticed that your kick and snare were the most consistent kick and snare I've ever recorded. I was like, oh,
thank you.
I don't have to do much to this. This is great. A lot of snares are like, boom, ka, boom, ka, boom, ka, boom, ka, boom, ka. I'm like, oh, okay, the velocity is on that.
Yeah.
The volume for non-musicians is slightly different. But with yours, they were all pretty much the same.
I think it's been helpful because I've done like the majority of my playing on an electric kit.
So okay.
Like, you've got to be quite precise with where you hit and also how hard you hit, because then it just sounds weird if you don't.
Yeah.
So I think that's that's very helpful.
Can you go from an electronic kit to an acoustic kit really easily? Or does it take a bit of getting used to all the other way around?
It feels really weird.
Yeah.
Because obviously everything's spaced out differently.
Yeah.
Because you've just got flat tops with an electric, whereas like with an acoustic, you've got the whole drum to contend with, so you've got to place your feet slightly different, but it feels weird after like 10 minutes. You're like, oh, this is cool, but
it does take a little bit of getting used to.
Yeah,
I get a lot of I get a lot of people starting out, and this is going to be totally irrelevant to the pod, but I get a lot of people that when they're starting out or when their kids are starting out, it's normally like a friend of my auntie's or whatever, right? And they'll go, we're looking to get Jacob a drum kit for Christmas. What's a good drum kit to get for £100? And you're like, well, nothing. Like, and I always give them advice. I go, look, spend £500 because then at least if he doesn't get into it, you can sell it for about £400.
Yeah.
And you've only actually spent £100.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Then you see the next thing. They've got some fucking CB drums.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You're never going to sell that.
And also, like, as long as you're not, like, bad with your kit, I'm still using the same acoustic drum kit that I got when I first started. That was well over 10 years ago. So, like, they last if
you treat them right. I mean, this guitar's lasted, mate. That's my first guitar. There's not a scratch on it. I mean,
until you redid it and until then I got a scratch.
Sprayed it and then, yeah, fucking scratched the back of it. Annoying. Do you enjoy playing live?
I do. What I think once you get past the like first like 10 minutes,
okay,
then I enjoy it, but it's scary. It's really scary.
A common thread with the pod is, well, it's called stage fright, but a lot of the people that are on it, they're, you know, being on stage is the best bit. They like, they absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the creative in us that's like wanting to show off, essentially. Yeah. Just like, look at me, I'm like showing off.
Yeah.
And it's all the bits around the thing. But I mean, is Hannah the same, or is Hannah quite happy to jump on stage and just play? And
I think she's just happy to like get on and play.
Yeah.
But I don't really see that side of Hannah as like, I don't see her nervous and I don't see her wobble, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just see her get on with it because that's just Hannah. Like, she's just like, let's just do it.
When she was here, I don't want to spend the whole time talking about Hannah.
Yeah.
Boring, isn't it? When she was here, she was like, you know, quite quiet, just sat like playing and stuff. And then when she went up to do vocals, then she like, the attitude came out of her and she's like, oh, that's where she shines.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. That's really nice to
see.
I mean, with you, it's kind of the same, the whole thing. Your persona was just like cool the whole recording process. Yeah. I didn't see like a spike in you getting more confident or whatever, apart from when we were doing the party recording, when you were like laughing at the back throughout the whole song.
I don't think I even sung or did anything because I was just laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this won't make any sense to anyone listening because the song's not out yet, but there's a song we recorded where underneath it, they wanted like a party vibe. So they just had to like go to the back of the room and make yourselves laugh. How is this gonna work? And you just like went into like this like laughy, jokey party mood.
Yeah.
Which is funny because you're not a fan of parties.
No. This is where I have my parties, like with Hannah.
Just
that's
the two,
it. Yeah, just us two.
In front of a microphone.
Yeah. Exactly. And also like I think it helps because whenever we play, I never look at Hannah. Like, unless it's like the back of her.
Yeah.
Whereas like when we're recording that, I look at her and I just, not that I laugh like at her, but like,
yeah,
she just makes me laugh.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, this is what we're doing, are
exactly.
we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about my Patreon, where for the price of half a coffee a month, you will get early ad-free versions of the podcast in a higher quality, as well as a load of behind-the-scenes photos and audio that I've been told to say are NSFW, which I don't know what it means, but people have it on their OnlyFans accounts. Apparently, I don't know, I've been told that. Patreon.com/DanParkinsonMusic. You can also get the app on your phone so you can listen to my voice wherever you may be. My Patreon has a pay what you can scheme where all tiers are the same. The aim of this is to have more Patreons paying the smaller fee a month and not pricing people out, which in turn will pay for the show and help it run and run until the end of time. Anyway, let's get back to the show. What's it like running a band nowadays? Like, I guess you could talk about costs that go into it and time.
Yeah.
That might be quite interesting to people like listening.
Yeah.
Because when people say, can your band come and play this charity show? Oh, it'd be good exposure. And you're like, well, it actually costs us money to get there and rehearse and stuff. So especially with people just streaming stuff on Spotify, how are you guys finding having a band as sort of almost a business?
Yeah. I think it's a little bit more difficult for like me and Hannah, especially from what it used to be. We didn't really have to put, well, we still don't, but like didn't put much effort into like promoting us, whereas now I feel like it's very much you need to promote yourself, you need to have all these videos, you need to have all of this content, and neither me or Hannah are those kind of people.
Yeah.
So I think it makes it so much more difficult now compared to what it used to be, even like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like it's a whole different world. And like having a band, everything's just expensive and everything's so like fast paced as well.
Like when you release something, people are like, right, what's the next thing?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, if we release it now, no one will listen to it.
Yeah.
So we've got to wait another 6 months
exactly.
to do it.
Yeah. It's fast paced, but not at the same time. But
It's a lot of hurry up and wait in this industry.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Even things like get to the gig at 5.
Yeah.
And you're like, 5 seems a bit early. Oh, you need to be there at 5. And you get there at 5 and nothing's open. And you're like, okay, well, why do we get there at 5? Then the promoter will turn up at 7. Yeah. And you go, cool, I've just been sat in my car for 2 hours.
That is literally me and Hannah every single gig. They're like, get here at 4:30, start loading in. You get there, you don't do anything for an hour because no one's there.
Yeah.
The people that we're borrowing kit for... arrive
the headliners aren't going to get here until 9. You're like,
we need this stuff.
So, but can you guys sound check? Yeah, I can sound check with a snare, not even on a stand, and a kick drum pedal.
I can do my best.
Yeah.
Oh, God, stressful.
Has the ADHD or the autism ever stopped you performing?
I don't think... Well, from what I can remember, it's never actually stopped it, but it's definitely made some gigs a lot harder than they could have or should have been.
Yeah.
Just because of, like, overthinking and worrying so much that, for example, like, the other bands are so much better than us or more experienced, and then me being like, oh, I actually don't know how to play the drums, even though I definitely do.
Yeah.
It makes it so difficult to manage, because... there's part of me which is like, oh yeah, I'm really confident I can do this. And then the other side that comes out quite a lot of being like, you can't play your instrument. You're absolutely rubbish at what you do. Your songs are rubbish, even though I know they're not. But like that normally takes over the majority of like gigs.
Yeah.
That's why I said like when I start playing, I'm always like I'm really bad at playing the drums. And then... after like the 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, I'm like, oh yeah. And then the gig's over.
And then the gig's finished. Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. So like, yeah, it hinders it quite a bit.
Do you suffer with anxiety?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. It's ever since I was in my teens, if not probably before then, that I've struggled quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I think that goes alongside of not being diagnosed when I probably should have been.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time... it was labelled as anxiety, but it was probably all of the effects of not being diagnosed and not knowing what to do with half the information that I had.
Yeah.
It's definitely a mixture of anxiety and being undiagnosed for a long time.
What did it feel like when you got diagnosed? Because at one hand, it must be quite a relief.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you must be like, okay, now I've been told this. It must be true because a doctor's told me, so I now have to live with this.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Hearing that news, when did you get diagnosed with it?
It was only like three months ago.
Okay.
So still quite recent.
Wow.
Like, I think I'm still going through that time of being like, what do I do with this information? How can I actually help myself and actually be productive and actually do the things that I want to do?
Yeah.
But like, when I got told, it was really confusing because I had thought about it for so long. And then someone tells you, and you're like, okay, that's what I have. And you expect it to just be fixed and, like, sorted. You expect to feel so different.
They'll give you a magic pill, and it'll go.
And it will be fine. But then you get diagnosed, and you're like, oh, okay. And then, like, ever since then, for, like, a few weeks after, you're like, why do I not feel different? Why am I still struggling? And it's, like, Well, knowing doesn't change it. Like, you need to actually find the different ways to help and to actually, like, order your life.
Yeah.
And figure it out, basically.
What are you doing to help it now? Have you got tools that you can kind of help? Obviously, getting up today and going, no, I'm going to go and chat to Dan for an hour. And, you know, that must help as well. Because you've got the drive as well.
Yeah.
And then, do you listen to podcasts in the car or do you listen to music?
Music.
Yeah.
Sing all the way.
Do you sing? Cool, great.
To the point where my throat hurts.
Great. Yeah, so sometimes like on a Sunday when I'm feeling like, because I get this thing where if I'm watching a film or whatever, I always think, oh, I could be doing something better now.
Yeah.
I could be doing something way more productive. I could be playing drums or, could, you know, learning Blink-182 something.
Yeah, learning a new skill.
Learning a new skill. I could be learning carpentry or something. Yeah. And I went, nah, it's too hard.
Yeah.
And then Sundays are the worst for me. I really don't like Sundays. So when I'm at home, I'll just go no, I need to go. And this Sunday, I actually came to the studio and I just tidied up. Mm-hmm. I just like hoovered up, tidied up. And I was only here for about an hour and 10 minutes or whatever. And then went home and I just felt so much better. Like I'd been, okay, cool, I've been productive.
Yeah.
Like, that's, so that was my tool for coping with Sunday-itis, is what I call it. So yeah, have you got anything like that that you,
do? I think it's quite similar, just like getting out of the space that I'm in, like physically. If I notice it so much more now, but like if I'm just sat like doom scrolling and you're just like, why am I allowing this to affect one, my mood and also my productivity when I'm still sat there anyway, being like, I could be doing something else. I could be learning this. I could be doing that. Even though they're not realistic, just getting up, and normally I just like at the moment take myself out for a walk because I feel like that completely resets me. And I'm like, okay, it feels like a new day. It feels like a start of a new day for me. That's like one thing that has really helped over the past few weeks, especially. And also like just forcing myself to do things and being like, I have this thing that I do where if I notice that I'm just sat down for ages, I'll be like the 3-2-1. And if I don't get up by the one, then it's not good.
Okay,
whereas like 3-2-1, right, I actually need to get up now. And that motivates me to just be like, if it was like a game.
Yeah.
Or I just give myself little games throughout the day. That helps.
I do that, right? And I've never said this out loud before.
Okay.
But I've just realized, so the word and.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know why I wrote it down. Yeah, exactly. I'll show you what the word and looks like.
Thank you.
The word and, right? If I'm listening to something, say I'm like, lying here, right, just like on a eating a sandwich or something, can I go, oh, I need to get up and do that editing in a minute, or I'm at home and I need to come over to the studio and I'm listening to something, I'll give myself until, if I'm listening to a podcast, watching a film or a song, when they say the word and, then I get up and go. And I've just realized I do that, saying it out loud now. That's my little game to myself. So if I'll always go to sleep listening to podcasts, so I'll wake up and there'll be a podcast playing and I'll wake up and I'll go, okay. And if I'm having a bit of a shit day, I'll lie there and I'll go, right, when they say the word and, because then I haven't got control of that. As soon as that's someone, they say, so I was walking down the road and I go, right, I'm up now, I've got to get up. So that's one of my little tools.
I like that, actually. I think that could be quite useful.
Do that.
Yeah.
Pick your own word, though. Yeah. I've got the word and.
You can
have the word
and
Dan.
Is taken. I feel like there were nothing that I listened to with Dan in.
Unless Hannah texts you going, Dan's texted the new mixes. You go, okay, cool, I can get up now. Fucking up in 3 days.
I've been 3 days I've been sat here waiting for the word Dan to come up. I won't be choosing Dan, unfortunately.
How's your tea?
Good.
Is it all right?
Yeah. No, I'm not burning my mouth on it.
Sweet.
I'm always like, oh yeah, tea. And then you start drinking it. My mouth.
I could happily drink coffee cold.
Yeah, me too.
I'll let this go cold throughout the day, absolutely. 4 hours later, and go, oh yeah, I've still got half a coffee and I'll drink coffee. It.
Yeah.
But I'll drink it with a massive gulp as well.
People are really weirded out about that.
Yeah.
Like, when they're like, oh, you're drinking something been out. And I'm like, Yeah, why not? Fine. Like, you drink cold coffee, and they're like, it's different. I'm like, it's not.
It's literally the same.
Exactly the
same.
Actually
probably nicer.
Yeah.
Because I can actually drink
it. Like, cold tea. My mum's like, ugh, how can you drink cold tea? And I'm like, I really like it.
What is bad? Cold green tea.
I still, not that bad. Although, no, it really does taste, you end up getting the really bitter taste.
Yeah.
And it tastes too, like, leafy.
I was recording an album with a guy once, and all we drank was green tea. So whenever I smell green tea or drink green tea, I just think about that album.
Yeah.
I just think about the studio I was in at the time.
Yeah.
It was an old, massive, converted barn, and the roof fell off at some point. Anyway.
What?
Yeah, so that's a story for another podcast.
Absolutely.
When do you feel most confident in what you do?
Good question.
Thank you.
I in all honesty, I don't think I ever feel like 100% confident.
Oh really?
Yeah, like there are occasions where we played a gig where I've been like, oh yeah, like I did well playing today, like I didn't mess up. If I don't mess up, I guess that's when I feel my most confident.
Okay. Do you mess up quite a lot?
Yeah.
But do
no
you
one
me-
else notice it.
Notices, yeah. Do you mess like, up where anyone else would notice or you'd notice?
Like, we have a couple, I have to admit, we have a couple of times where it's been like, I play the wrong drum bit and we've like, been like, we need to start again.
Yeah, okay.
Some people really like that. Some people absolutely hate it.
Funny,
I'm like,
it's
not like we've done the whole song and I mess up at the end and then I start it again.
Yeah.
It's normally within the first like 30 seconds where I'm like, the track played weirdly or I messed up.
Yeah, blame it on the track. Always blame it on the track.
If the song isn't from drum track.
Just always drum track. Just blame the track or blame Hannah
for
coming
click.
In wrong. Yeah, I couldn't hear the click's a good one. Can't hear the click. And the click's in your ear, just like bleed in your ears. That's good though. I think like I'm sort of the same. I don't really ever like feel I say like a lot, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
I don't know if you...
I don't even hear like anymore because I use it so frequently.
Yeah, so much. When I'm editing, I'm like...
Yeah, like...
fuck's sake. I always have to chat and go, right, I've said three likes in this sentence. Let's get rid
Delete
of two of them.
One.
Let's just get rid of them. Uh-huh. I don't think I ever... I nearly said it then.
Yeah, I can feel the...
I don't think I ever come in and I'm like, yeah. And I go... Yeah, no, I can really do this. It's very rare.
Yeah.
Only maybe when I'm on stage,
mm-hmm.
I feel all right. Like, because if I mess up on stage, no one really notices or no one really cares.
Yeah.
Or I play, because I session, I mm-hmm. play with people that everyone's looking at them anyway. So
you're kind of like,
in
the background.
I'm the eye candy in the background. The eye candy that no one's looking at.
right in the corner.
But yeah, I don't ever feel... I tell you what I do like. I do like when I'm producing like vocals or something mm-hmm. and... the artist gets it and then they're like, oh, and then they're buzzing as well. So then I feel like I've done my job.
Yeah.
Okay, I've done my job quite well. But like you, I don't ever feel, you know, like this confidence that Liam Gallagher has.
Yeah.
He just walks on stage, he walks in the room and he's Liam Gallagher.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never felt like that.
No. It's weird though, because I don't think I will ever feel that.
No.
I don't think it sounds really sad to say, but like, I don't think I will ever have that much confidence where I'm like, I can do anything.
If you were playing Wembley and Royal Blood were supporting you guys, you'd still feel that you'd be like, like a bit of an imposter.
Yeah.
It almost comes back to that, doesn't it? Imposter syndrome.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Why am I here? You expect someone with a clipboard to tap you on the shoulder and go, come on, mate.
Yeah,
you've
really?
Had your time. Like, you've got away with it for 10 years now. Yeah. Like, it's time to get a proper job.
Yeah. It's weird, though, because you say proper job. I feel like I've been brought up where creative industries aren't proper jobs, which I think comes into play quite a bit of not feeling confident because you're like, oh, I'm never going to make money from this.
Yeah.
Even though you do. Like,
yeah,
you can make money if you want to make money. Obviously, it's difficult and you work up to it, but there are ways of actually making a life for yourself and being able to pay things with doing a creative industry.
Yeah. I used to live with someone where he'd say stuff like, well... instead of doing music, you could be an amazing bank manager. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I could be, but that sounds fucking boring.
Yeah, don't want to do that, like, to be honest.
But it's those people that they sort of judge people on money, how much money people are earning.
Yeah.
And you see a musician or a poet or an artist and, you know, they're making ends meet, but they're not, you know, bank manager rolling in it. And they sort of like, they don't see it as a proper job because, it's not... you're not a bank manager or you're not a mechanic or a plumber or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you do always get that stigma of, and you feel like an idiot when people say, oh, what do you do? And you go, oh, I'm a guitarist.
Yeah. It feels like you don't really want to say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it's really cool.
Even though it's like
it's the
coolest
best
job.
Thing. Yeah.
When you're 15, if you met someone at a party and they were like, oh, I'm a drummer, you'd go, I want to talk to you.
My God.
You are the coolest person.
Yeah.
One, you must be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Well, not quite.
Maybe not. I also think that because all of those things are labelled as hobbies a lot.
Mm.
So people are like, oh, it's just your hobby. And I'm like, no, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I want to go.
I think it's back to my friend Dave Allen's podcast. I think it's like episode 4 of series 1. It's years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last year. He said it's because people use the word play. Oh, you go and play music.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing guitar. So it's always seen as a hobby, as a thing you do for fun.
Yeah.
It's never seen as a proper job.
Yeah, even though it definitely is.
Even though it is so hard. And do you get up early in the morning? Are you an early riser?
No.
No, me either.
No.
Are you a night owl, as they call it?
Yeah, like if I could swap it round and do all of my work in the evening, I absolutely would.
Yeah.
From like 3 o'clock onwards.
Yeah.
Most productive.
Yeah.
The morning I'm like, can't do anything.
I do like it when, this is probably going back to the tools thing, but I record this guy and he's a builder by trade, so he's up at the crack of noon. Yeah. The crack of noon?
Crack of noon.
he's up at the crack of dawn, right?
Yeah.
And he'll say, oh, when do you want to start? He'll have written a song and I've produced it. And I need to get him over to record some bits. When do you want to start? 9 o'clock in the morning? And I go, yes, because then it'll get me up.
Yeah.
And I'm going, cool. And then we're done by three.
Yeah.
And then 3 o'clock onwards, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Now I can start my actual day.
Yeah.
And I've already done a day's work. So yeah. I feel even better. Like I've actually like done something.
Yeah, definitely.
But generally, I try and go to bed early, but it never really happens.
What do you class as early, though?
Well, I always say, if I'm asleep by 1 a.m.,
yeah,
that's quite early.
Yeah, okay.
But lately, I'll try and go to bed, like, or try and, like, wind down at, like, 9:30. So, like,
okay,
phones off.
Yeah.
Not phones off. Yeah. Not 14.
Yeah. No Wi-Fi after.
No Wi-Fi, yeah.
Turn it off.
Mom, can I have the Wi-Fi on? Yeah, I'll try and, like, limit screen time, like, after 9:30. I don't really like... Because I used to... It still happens now, but I'll get emails at 11, 12 o'clock at night and I'll feel like I've got to respond to them there and then.
Yeah.
Dan, can we get more reverb on the vocal, whatever? Yeah, yeah. And I'll go, I could just do this now.
Yeah.
Now I can just get it done now and then it's done then. And then I won't have to do anything tomorrow. My packed schedule tomorrow.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that that creeps in. But lately I have been trying to go, right, let me try and get to bed at like a normal time.
Yeah.
But what's worse for me is if I wake up in the middle of the night or whatever and I can't sleep, just lying there is the worst. Just like
staring at the ceiling,
just
like
forcing, yeah, just
with
staring
your eyes closed, like all squinting, and you're like,
yeah, just really squinting to try and sleep harder.
Yeah.
And that's really the worst for me because I just work myself up and then I start overthinking stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm lying there going, oh, why can't I just go to sleep? Because sleep is like my rest from my brain.
Yeah.
And then I'll get up and do something. So it's like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I'll get up and do some fucking edit. I'll probably be editing this podcast at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Just you wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That little sentence are going to come back to haunt me.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/DanParkinsonMusic. Wicked, mate. I think I've asked, how long is that? I think that's been quite a nice chat. It's been nice to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
I mean, last time you were here, you and Hannah were playing Guess Who. Subjective Guess Who while I was editing. Yeah, so now, it's been nice to like get like. It's been nice to like, get to know you more. Like,
yeah.
But before you go,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how familiar you are with the pod, but
mm-hmm.
I've got quick fire questions that I want to ask. One of them I'm actually going to get rid of. I always have this question, one song you wish you'd written, but I always get rid of that because mine would be Purple Rain. But then I think, if I'd written Purple Rain, would I like it as much?
Yeah.
It's like if you're the director of Titanic, if you're James Cameron, right? You've directed Titanic. You can never watch that film like fresh.
Yeah.
Like such an iconic film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too long. Yeah. Way too long. Like I any agree. Film over an hour and 20 minutes is too long.
Yeah, way too long.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
First thing someone says, oh, do you want to come to the cinema to watch the Bob Marley film? How long is it? 2 hours and 10 minutes? No, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'll do it in two bits when it comes out on Netflix.
Yeah. Half and half.
But yeah, I got rid of that question.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's do the questions. Question one, what band could phone you up now and say the gig is tonight? Can you do it?
Probably Paramore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I would literally...
I
would drop... everything.
Would you?
Yeah. I feel like I know the songs well enough that like either I could jump in or I can play as a like a support, whatever.
Great.
Whatever happens. Yeah.
Great, that's a good answer.
I feel like, yeah.
Solid.
I love Paramore.
What artist did you instantly connect with after hearing?
There's a band called Dinosaur Pileup.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as I heard, I can't remember what song I heard first, but everything about all of their songs that I've ever listened to.
White t-shirt and jeans.
Just,
so good.
The drums, guitar, bass, vocals,
just three
the way
ones,
that they
there?
Write, like everything is just like perfect.
Yeah.
And it's so well done.
Yeah.
And it just sounds incredible. I don't know who produced it, but it sounds incredible.
Their records sound great. Yeah, yeah. Dinosaur Pilot.
Yeah, but really like, good answer.
One song you wish you'd written? No, I get
it. All of them.
What's the one project you're proud to be a part of currently?
What do you mean?
Say you've released a song and you go, oh, I'm really happy about that. Or okay. You did a bit piece of graphic design and yeah. You're really happy about that.
Yeah. Probably there's a song that we did called The One You Need.
Mm-hmm.
I feel really proud to be like a part of that just because it was so like collaborative.
Yeah. How did that song come about?
It was, we were like ahead of time in the studio and we were like, should we just write a song? Should we just see what happens? And Ben had this guitar bit that he was like, I wanted to use this for ages. How do you feel? And we were like, yeah.
Cool.
And then it was just one of those things where it just happened so quickly. We were like, oh, the drums need to sound like this. And then when I played them, I was like, this feels so good.
Oh, wow.
And it sounds so good. And like, I think that was like a moment where I was like, I feel like I'm good at what I do.
Great.
Yeah. And then we were trying to figure out the vocals. And then because it's me and Hannah singing the majority of the song, I just feel like it just sounds so good and it feels good. And it's got like that, like not anger, but like that
angsty kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. I just love it.
Great.
I'm proud to be a part of it.
What's it called?
The One You Need.
That's what everyone should go listen to. I'll put it on the, I'll put it on the playlist.
Yeah. It's great.
What advice would you give to your younger self?
It'd probably be the same advice that I would give myself now is like, just do it. Like if you want to do it, just do it. But I feel like all of the decisions that I've made so far that I've actually thoroughly enjoyed and been like, oh, I did, like, that's cool. All decisions that I've just been like, yep, let's just do it.
Yeah, great.
Like,
that is the best way to live. Just start and see what happens, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
That was my ethos for starting this podcast. Like, I had no idea how to start a podcast. And now I'm two seasons in.
Yeah, exactly.
Still don't really know what I'm doing.
Works. If it works, it works.
Yeah, it works. It works.
Yeah.
And last question, what have you got coming up?
Not loads. We've got one gig.
Yeah.
On the 5th of April in Camden.
Oh, cool.
Which can be fun.
What venue is that? Is that the Black Heart?
Oh.
Who books your gigs?
We do it.
You do it all over. Is it all over email? And you guys don't have a manager, do you?
No. The Camden Eye.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Nice.
Camden Eye.
So you do it all yourselves. You email out.
Yeah. It would take a while for it to like actually come about. But me and Hannah are like, who's going to reply to this one? And one of us will just be like, reply to everything that we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a mixture of me and Hannah. Just like, are you free this day? Yes. No.
Do you find it hard to get gigs now?
We do. Because a lot of I have to admit, we've put very little effort into doing a lot of our stuff, which sounds really bad, but like a lot of the time it's been people approaching us and we've just been like, yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
We've never really gone out and like searched for gigs.
Okay, cool.
So whatever people come to us with, we're like, yeah, go for it.
Nice. Mate, thank you so much for travelling down to
chat. Thank you for having me.
We've got to do this awkward thing now where we say bye, but then we're just still in the same room.
It's like when you when you say bye to someone and then you walk the same direction.
Yeah.
And you're like,
You bump into every aisle in the supermarket. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Like,
yeah.
All right. You've got to acknowledge them. You can't just ignore them. You
can't just say bye and then just ignore them for the rest of the day. But mate, thank you so much for doing this. It's been super fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
That was my chat with Ree on the Stage Fright podcast. Go keep up to date with her band Wolfs on Instagram at WolfsTheBand and check out their song The One You Need on the Stage Fright playlist. Link is in the description. If you'd like to help out the show, please sign up to my Patreon where for the price of half a coffee a month, you'll get early, ad-free, higher quality access of the pod as well as some extra bonus bits and conversations. Patreon.com/DanParkinsonMusic. Email me any thoughts and ideas you might have for the pod, allrightstagefright@gmail.com, and come follow us on Instagram at the Stage Fright Podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next one. Bye. Hey, Dave.
What?
How many guitar puns can you fit into a radio advert?
Oh, easy. Are you feeling strung out, struggling to pick up your instrument? Well, don't fret. My mate Dan will put his neck on the line to make your instrument the best it can be. Nobody does it better. Can't think of any more, Dan.
All right, I'm Dan, and I set up electric, acoustic, and bass guitars from my recording studio in Andover. Drum kit services also available. Visit danparkinsonmusic.com for more information, or find me on Facebook and Instagram.